So thank you everyone for joining me this morning. My name is Tom Eddings. I am a user experience designer in our global services design team. I've worked for Microsoft for about 10 years. Worked with clients all across the world, both consumer and in the enterprise space. In the last 5 years, I've primarily been building mobile apps for them, or designing and building mobile apps for them. And then in the last 3 or 4 months, I spent a lot of my time designing bots. The last couple we've built have mainly been in the consumer space. So I've just finished one for a big mobile telecoms company, which I'll talk about in a bit. And then Stuart and I, who's presenting after me, have just finished last week building an app for Retail Week Live, which was for a conference, so it was an event app. And I'll talk a little bit about that as I go through the talk today. So I've split my talk into two key areas. It's going to be very short. I know you guys are really busy. You've got lots going on with hackathon, so it's a quick 20 minutes. The first area is just some areas to think about as you're getting started. I know that you started yesterday, but these are some things that actually you might be able to apply still today as you're moving through your process. And then my top 5 tips. As we've been moving through, it's new technology. We've been learning a few things, especially last week when we put a bot live. And I'm going to try and tell you about those so you can kind of build them into your plans as you make yours. So first thing, what makes a great bot? The first thing to think about in the scenarios that you've come up with is the bot the correct channel to, is the right approach for your scenario? Are you trying to solve the problem you're trying to solve? Is the bot best for that? And the way I would explain that is with the Retail Week Live bot, we were building an event bot, and one of the requirements from the customer was, we want people to be able to go into the bot and find the entire agenda or the entire schedule for the event. And I was like, well, the majority of customers are going to go through and are going to look at a piece of paper for that, they're going to go into a spreadsheet, they're going to go into the app and look at the whole agenda. The bot isn't the best place to do that. But what we can do is we can use the conversational style of the bot to highlight particular sessions. Or when you're in the event, you can say things like, what's on next? So rather than having to go into a schedule and try and find the current time and what's on next and all the different tracks that are going on, you can just say, hey bot, what's on next? And it will come back and it will recommend some sessions for you. Or if it's not really sure what to recommend, it'll say, what are you interested in? And from that, you can pick areas. And so when you're thinking about your scenario, it might be quite wide, but there might be particular areas that your bot's going to be better at doing than say, a website or an app. So just keep that in mind. The other two key things here are the devices and platforms that you're running on. So for Retail Week Live, we were really focused on Facebook Messenger. We knew the majority of the delegates would have that platform. I'll come onto that a bit later. Is the bot discoverable? This is something we actually struggle with quite a lot. Is to actually get the bot out there and to get it recognised so people understand it. It's a relatively new technology. For all of us guys here, we all know about it. We know it's really popular at the moment. But actually, for consumers, it takes a little bit of explaining to kind of understand how it's going to work, and they're generally quite sceptical of new things, especially artificial intelligence. So think about that. Think about it now. Think about your marketing plans. How are you going to get the bot out there? How are you going to get it engaged? Is it that you're going to embed it into your website, embed it into your app? How are you going to communicate? Are there little stories that you can tell so it kind of gets people wanting to go in and use it? On reflection with Retail Week Live, we would have pushed a lot more the whole what's on next scenario so that people, it's really quick and easy to understand so that they would go in and kind of get that experience. So moving on, I'm a designer, so I should probably talk about brand today. So brand is really interesting with bots, and I've kind of split it down into 4 key areas. So the first is, how do you look? With apps, obviously you've got a massive opportunity to instill your brand into the app, both from fonts, colours. With bots, you don't have that so much. You do have an opportunity to build an icon, and icons are incredibly important, as they are with apps. They're probably even more so with bots. It is your opportunity to kind of provide that visual asset that are going to link people to your bot and kind of tell them what it's about. Naming your bot, So my friend works in an agency, and they were approached by a television company who wanted to change their name, and they came up with the name Dave. The reason they came up with the name Dave is because everyone's got a mate called Dave. So think a little bit about what you want to call your bot. Sometimes people want, companies want to give them human names. I've worked with Virgin Atlantic, they're really popular with that. Like, they call all their technology products, they give them ladies' names. So I think they're onboard entertainment or magazines called Rita, and they've got their in-flight entertainment called Iris, I think. So have a little think about what you want to call it. Sometimes companies want to give it more of an artificial intelligence name, so Arnold, Siri, that type of thing. How should you sound? So this is around the personality of your bot, and this is something you want to start right now if you haven't started it already. This is the most probably important part of design in bots, is your personality and your tone of voice. If you're already working for a company, if you go onto their brand website, they tend to have a tone of voice document, and I would go and look at that like right away. Because the earlier you start this, the better. When I've started these projects before, I get a lot of, oh, I just put in some demo text for now, can you go back and fix that? And it actually takes a lot of time, especially when you're in a fast-paced hackathon environment, you really want to speed that up, so I would get started on that as soon as possible. How is it you want to say hello to your users when they first come in? Is it more polite and helpful, like, hello, how can I help you? Or is it like a bit more, sup, what's up, how can I help, like, that type of thing. I'm trying to say that again. And then the other area I've seen is sometimes they can be a bit sassy. So you can have, I think there's a bot that's quite, that we like called Your Face, and you can upload pictures of you and it'll come back and tell you things. So you can be fun with it. I think at the end of the day, you do want to make sure your message doesn't get lost in what you're trying to communicate, so definitely try and keep it concise, but it is an area that you can definitely have some fun with. And then finally, when should you ask for help? And this is another really important point. When is it that you're going to hand over to a colleague, to a member of your customer service team, especially when you're in a customer service help desk scenario, type of scenario? You need to think about how you're going to do that handover, and how you're going to do it in a slick way. So, to say you're having a conversation with a customer, and then at the end of it, you're not getting anywhere, the customer's going to start getting frustrated. Well, you can say, okay, I'm going to hand you over to one of our agents now, but it's not just handing them over, it's a soft handshake. So you can take the content of that message and push it through to your customer service department, so they've already got the context of the conversation that you're having with your users. So you've already scored those points. It's a really easy way. So just think about those handover points of when you're going to do it. Quick tip. So if you haven't got an icon for your bot at the moment, I thought I'd show you around. Is everyone familiar with the Noun project? So here you can provide icons. Some of them are free, some of them you can pay for, they're pretty cheap. But like, you can go through and you can search if you're not really sure what icon you want to go, but you can type in like box or something, and then they'll come down with a list of bot icons for you. And look through. Really quick and easy to do. Okay. So moving on to my top 5 tips. So the first one is your introduction, so saying hello. First impressions really count. When we were starting on the retail week, LiveBot, we just said, hello, how are you? And then did nothing else. And we realized straight away that people were asking all sorts of nonsense. And hence it got really confusing and users got frustrated. And then we started to realize that actually we need to be a bit more deliberate about our introduction. And so we created a brand. So you actually another opportunity to show you your visual assets here. You can add an image. And then you can add some rich UI controls, so some buttons here. So you're actually starting to already navigate the user through a particular area, so they don't end up asking something that the bot isn't going to understand. My second tip is releasing a preview as early as possible. So we call it MVP, so minimal viable product. We literally want to be doing that as soon as possible. I would say hours rather than days. When we were working on the retail week live bot, we were, I think after the first few hours, we had a live bot ready to go. And this is because with apps, people, you're restricting them into the screen, and they can press buttons and they can go in certain directions. Where with a bot, because it's natural language, the possibilities are endless. Just something like, with the event bot, we provided information on where you could get a drink, and you would not believe the amount of different ways there are to say, how do I get a drink? People started actually asking for particular drinks. They started talking about Americanos and lattes, and you're just like, okay, was not expecting that. But we learned that really, really quickly because we didn't take it live straight away, but we had a friendly audience that it released the bot to really quickly. And with the bot framework, it's super cool that you can open up the channels really, really quickly. So we could open up Skype. We've got Microsoft Teams as well, so we could get people testing it really, really quickly. And we got people that were really used to events and used to work on event stands and get questions from customers, and they would really hammer it. And then we built up our knowledge base. So if you're using the Q&A service, that's where you want to get that out in particular, because you're going to start to get those types of questions. And then when you get into training, Lewis as well, but I'll leave that to Stu. Our channels. So again, as I said, it's really super easy to turn on channels with the bot framework, which is really cool. But the more channels you turn on, the more testing you're going to have to do. It's not completely consistent as you move across, and it's something you definitely need to keep an eye on. With Retail Week Live, we were moving across Facebook Messenger and Skype. And so we need to make sure that when we introduce things like buttons and carousel controls, also the markdown, so how the text looks, that's something we had to keep an eye on when we were moving through the different channels. Something we found later on in the process, which I wish we knew about at the beginning, was the channel inspector. I think, as I say, these technologies are coming on, they're introducing new tools all the time. And the channel inspector allows you to inspect the different channels. So if I bring this up, you can see that I can change the channel. So here I've got Facebook, and can look at what carousel control looks like, and then I can switch to a different channel, such as Skype. And you can see like tiny differences at this point. But in other areas like buttons, you can see that things look actually quite different. And there's also restrictions on the amount of text that you can display in things like buttons. That's actually a good point around the restrictions. So in Facebook Messenger in particular, you need to keep an eye on the number of characters that you're putting into buttons and also into intro text. It's quite restrictive on what it's going to let you do there. I don't know the exact numbers. I can go and find them out. I'll try and come around later. If you've got any questions about that, I can help out. Is anyone here turning on Facebook Messenger yet? Or planning to turn it on? So if you are planning to turn it on, I would recommend that you do it earlier rather than later. It's not complicated to do, but it can take up to 5 days to actually get it approved and get it into store. You can get it, if you don't get it approved and get it to public, you can still use it in a test mode where you have to add roles and that type of thing. So I would go back and get that channel turned on as soon as possible. Any other questions about channels? So user controls. So we talked a little bit about getting your app out there for preview really early, because people can ask things in lots of different ways. But also you've got the opportunity to interject rich user controls. So just like you do in apps where you've got buttons and like galleries, that type of thing, you've also got the opportunity within bots to do that. So Skyscanner is actually a favourite of mine, where when it's presenting flights, presents this really beautiful carousel control, so you can actually see flights and ticket times. That works really well. With the Retail Week Live bot, we were also, when someone said, can you suggest a session, it would bring up the different tracks, and you could tap them, it would move you onto the next track, and then it would say, where do you want to know about today or tomorrow? And it's all about keeping the user into these nice flows, because then they're not going to go off track, and they're not going to become frustrated. They can be kind of guiding them through the information that they want. You have to be a little bit careful though, because users change their mind all the time. You would not believe how far they would get down a process. So a sales cycle, for example, in a purchasing scenario where they go online and they want to purchase a pen, and they get all the way to the bit where they want to do the credit card transaction, and they were like, nah, I don't care about that anymore. And that's fine in that, you just close it, or website, they close it, and go on. But in these scenarios, when you start introducing like these form flows, you get to points where at this point they might actually decide, I don't really care what's on tomorrow, and then say, where are the toilets? And it'll think you're still in this flow. So you need to make sure that users don't get trapped into it with a stubborn or clueless bot. So where am I? And this is kind of my final tip for today. This is about making sure that you're coding against when users change their minds all the time, and they will do it all the time. We saw it so much in Retail Week. There's simple things that you can do. So the first is, when you are in flows such as this one, is having kind of a clause where after 3 or 4 attempts, you break them out of the flow. So if they are in this one here, it say, where are you traveling to? And they just say cancel, or they say stop. And then they say a third thing, you just say, okay, this person has decided they don't want to do this flow anymore, so we're stopping that flow, and then we can start again. There's also coding for keywords, so things like help, so actually picking those up and saying, so we had help was something that we saw people use all the time. I would definitely recommend having that in. So what we did was when a user said help into our bot, we actually returned back into our introduction mode. We changed the text a little bit, but we used the same format where we're like, here's some things that you can do. And it's also an opportunity as well with the introduction and also with help to say, hey, sorry, not sure we quite got that. Again, rolling into the personality, how you want to communicate. Saying I'm not really sure how that, not sure what you meant there. Let me see. How about one of these things? Does this work? So it's kind of trying to be conversational, but trying to be direct at the same point. So coding in for help, and I think we also coded in for cancel as well, to stop. So if we were in flow such as searching for a track, you would stop what you were doing and you reset to back again. I appreciate that was really quick. There's the load, there's lots to do. I would encourage you to go on and look at the channel inspector. That was something that was super useful to us near the end. For those guys telling on Facebook Messenger, absolutely go check that out and get that on as soon as possible. Because then you can start inspecting what the channels are going to look like. Any questions? The character limits and the buttons.
Or anything really that you try and use that's not compatible.
I don't know if it definitely doesn't warn you, it just cuts it off. So on Facebook Messenger, if you put in too much text, it will just cut it off. And we spent hours trying to work out how to rephrase buttons so that they would make sense.
It's
17
characters. So we were trying to do key phrases like, where are the toilets? And obviously you can't do that. So we were like putting things in the buttons like toilets ? And it's just getting that balance right between saying what looks stupid when you're trying to prompt the bot to do something and not calling that character limit.
It is trial and error on that. I don't even think the channel inspector helps you with the character limits.
It's 300 characters in a standard text message for Facebook and 80 characters for a type of subtitle in the car.
There we go. You're clearly a pro. The 300 character limit is interesting as well, because we would hit that all the time, especially with things like event bots. Because people in the descriptions of their sessions, they keep it brief. So we had to figure out ways to kind of stop the message and send another one. The other point on that actually is the feedback response. So I don't know if you've coded this into your apps yet, but going back to this point here around not getting users frustrated was that what we found made the app feel or the bot feel much more responsive was the typing piece. You know when you're typing to a friend and then it shows they're typing back, you can turn that on with the bot so it doesn't feel like the bot's gone stale or stopped working, and also it'll stop users writing word trying to talk to the bot twice. So say it was saying, where are you traveling to? And then you said Mexico, and then it would go off and type and then it would bring back information. It'll stop people going, oh, what about this and what about this? So that was a really good tip that we introduced quite quickly. Okay. Great, thanks very much guys, good luck with the bus.